Hi everybody, this is Abby from Team Gary, and today's Team Gary V throwback episode is an Ask Gary V from 3 years ago between Gary and Lily Singh. I think this episode, even though it's 3 years old, still has a lot of fire in it, and Lily is just an all-around badass who is super fun to listen to, and kind of the rapport between Gary and Lily is also super fun to listen to. They have a really cool conversation around judgment that kind of goes full circle throughout the episode. And yeah, I just hope it brings everybody as much value as it's brought me. And that's pretty much it. Hope everyone has a great Thursday.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Everybody, welcome to episode 324 of the Ask Gary V Show. This is an exciting one because worlds collide and it's a special day. So everybody watching on live stream, I know this will get posted probably a day later, but if you're watching live tonight, 10 p.m. on YouTube, mm-hmm. and 1:30 in the morning.
That's right.
If you're not, Lily, why don't you tell everybody what the big news is and a little bit about yourself?
For sure.
So you take the floor for the next 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Lily Singh. I have exciting news. I am premiering my late night show, my NBC late night show called A Little Late with Lily Singh. It's after Seth Meyers. It's 1:35 a.m. But like you mentioned, because the special day's premiere, we're streaming it on YouTube earlier than it premieres on TV at 10:30 p.m. EST. And it's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. It's consumed my whole life for the past couple of months. It's a huge honor. It's currently the only woman on network late night. So it's a pretty big deal.
It is a very big deal. So let's take it all the way back. First of all, let's take it not all the way back. Mm-hmm. Let's take it kind of back to how did this even happen?
Well, I got a phone call saying, hey, there's a time slot that NBC would love to offer you. And I was like, wait, what? And it took me a really long time to process this conversation because I was like, they want me to host this or they want me to like be on it? They want you to host it. Like myself? Like they want it to be my show? Like replace Carson? No, they want your own show. Like my own show? So there's so many follow-up questions.
Is this your agent calling you?
This is my manager calling me.
It.
I mean, at this point, you know, I've been making...
And where are you? Paint me the picture.
Yeah, I'm going to paint you the picture. Okay, this year, it's been 8 years of me making YouTube videos.
Yep.
I've done a gang of other things. You know, I've released books. I've gone on tours. I've done lots of live performances. Never dabbled in the world of traditional TV thus far. So I'm sitting in my office. I'm on my pink blush, fabulous couch. It is fabulous. It's velvet. It's very cute. And I get a phone call.
In LA?
In LA.
All right, I'm just going very detailed.
No, I like it. I was wearing a blazer.
Go ahead. Really?
Probably sweats, but I'm making it up. So it's a blazer.
Yep.
And my manager literally calls and says, random thing, NBC wants to talk to you about a late night show. And I remember being like, wait, what? And so after 30 minutes of confusion, I was like, sure, I'll do the meeting to find out more information. And I met with a group of
executives,
white people. And then they told me, they're like, we would love you for the show. And I'm not going to lie, it was a really cool opportunity, but I wanted to take a beat to think about it because committing to something of that scale, mm-hmm. it's like a huge professional and personal commitment to make, honestly.
Humongous.
Yeah, so I did like a month of research. I truly took a month to answer them. There's two people in particular I asked for advice. One was Hasan Minhaj and mm-hmm. one was Dwayne Johnson. Mm-hmm. Mostly because I have a bad habit of asking people for advice who don't know what they're talking about. And I wanted to not do that this time. You know, I'm always that person that's like asking people for relationship advice and they're single and sad. And I'm like taking advice from them. So like this time I'm going to ask people that actually know what they're talking about.
Love.
So they gave me great advice and they both encouraged me to go through with this. I think my number one concern was I didn't want to be pigeonholed as a host.
Yep.
I have so many aspirations. And
both of them are already in parts of the... Hassan's going to the next phase. Mm-hmm. The Rock, Dwayne.
I mean, he transcends everything.
But I really believe that like there is no pigeonholing if you're willing to break through doors and windows.
That's exactly correct. And I think Dwayne said something that was so smart. He said, if that was your concern, you would have already been pigeonholed as the YouTube girl.
Correct.
And that has never stopped you. So that's what I needed to hear. I said yes. And since then, my life has been a wild ride.
I love it. That's so awesome. So now let's take it. I lied. I said we were going to take it all the way back. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going backwards.
Okay.
Let's go to the part where you emerged mm-hmm. into the consciousness that led to this opportunity. Mm-hmm. When did you start producing for the internet?
I started producing for the internet in 2010, and it was because I was sad. Truly, like that is the answer. I was in the last year of university. I was fulfilling a major that I had no real passion in, was psychology. I have a psych degree. Mostly because that's what my sister did. My parents wanted me to get a degree. As a kid, I was so creative. Whether it was baking or dancing or rapping, I loved creating. And then I think I was convinced, whether it was by family or society or whatnot, that that's not a realistic trajectory of life. And so I was like, okay, time to grow up and get a degree and get a job and get married and do this very linear life that everybody wants me to do. So I went into a really dark funk in the last year of my university career. Discovered YouTube, thought it was weird as hell. I was like, who are these weirdos making videos in their rooms? But then, you know, eventually just uploaded a video that was very bad. It was a bad video.
What was your first video?
It was a very awkward spoken word piece. I bought a new blazer, again, with the blazer.
Jesus, you're really
I like the
blazers.
I don't have a good personality, so my blazers make up for it. I'm kidding. I'm great. No, so I made this video. It was a spoken word piece. 70 people watched it, right. And I was like, I'm famous now, 70 goddamn people. But I just fell in love with the idea of creating on my own terms, and it made me happy. It's very simple. I was sad. This made me happy. I decided to keep doing this thing that made me happy.
D-Rock, in post-production for this clip, can we please find the part of Crush It that I wrote in 2008 that basically describes this exact scenario, since now I'm old and my theses are now coming to life? I said this over and over, that this is exactly how it was gonna happen, and literally tonight it happens. Somebody who created a YouTube video then hosts a late night show, and that was impossible to believe in 2008. Or 9 when the book came out. And
so you manifested this for me, basically.
I basically am taking full credit for your career.
Thank you. And you know what? You get it. There you go.
I don't know if you read your contract, but there's a 20% vig you're actually paying me.
Nice.
Yes. So
what's 20% of very little? What
listen,
is it?
Even less. Okay. Even less. So that happens. When did you start feeling it? When did something happen? Give me the moment where... Okay, so that happens. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
That happens.
Then what was the moment? What was the
where
moment?
Where I was like, this might go somewhere?
Or the first video that kind of... Yeah, yes.
So there was a trend called Things Girls Say. Do you guys remember that trend?
I do.
Okay, so I made a Stuff's Punjabi Mother Say. That was my first video to hit 1 million views. Now, I was thrilled...
Before you go there, I apologize.
Yeah, no worries.
Where were your videos coming in at? Prior to that,
my first...
Just for context.
Yeah, my first video hit 10,000 views, and that was probably like my 8th video. So it took me around 8 videos to hit 10,000 views.
Which is a lot.
Which is a lot
of views for an 8th video.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, I'm just going to jump in right now for everybody listening. The thing that I talk about in Crush It, still to this day, and just to make this valuable for everybody listening, and by the way, if you're watching LinkedIn, Facebook, put your phone numbers up, and Katie here will be grabbing the phone numbers. We're gonna do some calls before this show's over, so you can see where the themes are going here, and I know a lot of this audience is gonna have questions for Lily. I think one thing that needs to be talked about is talent. Mm-hmm. Like, even the way you delivered I'm awesome when you were saying the blazer thing, like, talent is a real equation. Mm-hmm. Like, there are people who are gonna get 10,000 views on their 8th video who are exactly the people that go on to do other things. Mm-hmm. There's a very fine line for everybody of, like, perseverance. You know, there's plenty of people who gave up making YouTube videos.
For sure.
One video short of when it was gonna turn. Mm-hmm. So there's no linear answer or binary answer to this, but I do think that it makes sense to me that happened for you.
Thank you.
Okay, so you have the 10,000 video on the 8th one, so you're like, okay, now there's something here.
Well, not even then. To your point, I'm not the product of a viral video. And there are a lot of creators that are. I'm not. Every video I've made has counted slowly. It's chipped away. Slowly it's gained new subscribers.
But you agree with me as also somebody who never... Mm-hmm. I still don't have really that many viral, if any, viral videos.
Also, what does that even mean?
But I think you agree with me that, you know, there is no long-term product of a viral video. There's just people that make viral videos. And by the way, there are people who make viral videos mm-hmm. and then are similar to you and I. Mm-hmm. And that's the starting point. And they go on because they have the skill set
for sure.
to build something meaningful. And there are tons of people who have viral videos mm-hmm. never to be seen again.
100%. I'd say viral, the concept of going viral is very short-term. You know, it's very
Your
short-term.
What number video got to 1 million views?
Oh,
what was that?
I don't even remember because it was pretty deep in. It
a
was
year?
Like... Probably a year yeah. or two. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing.
Did you shit? Were you like,
well, I
fuck,
do that every
finally.
Day.
Yes, I know that. But in
well,
the metaphorically the way of like, I'm excited.
I was thrilled, but I'm also just, I have that immigrant mentality of my parents. That's like, don't ever get too excited about stuff. Keep working, keep hustling. So even though it hit 1 million views, I was mentality. Like, well, this is not me. This is because of this trend. I know it's because of this trend of the stuff girls say in that moment that YouTube was having. So I was probably the last person in my life to really have that eureka moment of, wait, this could actually go somewhere. I had hit 1 million subscribers. I had been traveling to different parts of the world to perform. And even still,
and
I was...
And perform in what form?
A little bit of stand-up or a little bit just like fan Q&A stuff online. Sometimes okay. I would rap, just a bunch yep. of different stuff.
Still being creative.
And I still was like, no, this could all go away. This doesn't mean anything. It took me a really long time to really accept this could be a career. Entertainment could be a career.
Are you similar to me, which I have a lot of immigrant framework, where it wasn't as binary as the way you said it, meaning you didn't go all the way in, but of course there was a sub or conscious part of you that also knew, like, okay, this is things are happening. It's kind of how I feel right now.
Right.
Like, I don't feel like, I feel that right now. Like, with all the good things that are happening to me,
same.
I'm like, I'm not, like, well.
100% like, same. I kind of teetered this line because I do also believe in going all in. Like, I know when I started doing YouTube videos, I didn't have a backup plan. And I was very adamant
about
that. I was very much so like, if you have a backup plan, you're putting a little bit, no matter how small, of energy into that solution where really I want to focus.
Lil, is it true that you equally right now think it can disappear and equally think you're going to be the biggest star in the world?
100%.
Yes. I totally understand.
Yeah, I teeter that line all the time where I'm like, I don't need no backup plan. I'm putting my all in.
You know what it is? It's balance. I think that's what I have too. Mm-hmm. I think it's actually balance.
Wait, you think we have balance or lack of balance?
I think we have balance. I think the extreme.
You're the first person in my entire life that has ever told me I have balance.
I think you have balance.
Thank you.
I think that our balance is pulling harder mm-hmm. in the opposite directions than most people.
I guess in this regard, I have balance. In other facets of my life, perhaps not. But in this regard, yeah.
Sure. That makes
this
sense.
This is the best podcast ever.
I have enormous balance in human life. Mm-hmm. I'm completely imbalanced when it comes to being a sports fan. I'm actually sitting here conducting this interview with you, operating this enormous business because mm-hmm. we just had a pretty important meeting and I have mm-hmm. one right behind it. Mm-hmm. And the only thing I'm thinking about is that I want to punch Baker Mayfield in the fucking face because the Jets are playing the Browns tonight and half my team is hurt and I'm on actual tilt right now.
I feel safe.
Good. So anyway, I actually think your balance, I fully understand that.
Yeah.
Okay, mm-hmm. now tell me about, let's go even further back.
Yep.
Actually, let me stay on this because I think mm-hmm. it brings more value mm-hmm. to the audience. The YouTube thing's happening, mm-hmm. you're doing these performance things. Real quick, just because I think it's an important topic, where were you in balancing out your platforms for creativity and awareness? You know, one of the things that I think is super interesting mm-hmm. is people becoming one-dimensional on right. the platform that feeds them.
Mm-hmm.
As you're growing, when did you hit 1 million, or when did you feel like you were really in a big moment on YouTube? 12, 14, just give me like a rough year.
Like what year? Probably mm-hmm. 2014 was my
okay.
time. Yep.
So were you also actively at that point being like active on Twitter or Instagram or anything else? Were you rounding out the platforms?
Yeah, so I've always been a big, how I used to view things was everything is a funnel to YouTube. That's how yep. I used to view it. I don't
that.
Necessarily view it like that anymore.
I understand
anymore.
That too.
Yeah, now it's about certain content lives in certain places yep. and each of them
context
are valuable.
Has emerged.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That wasn't the case in 2014.
I understand.
Yet. 2014 was YouTube is paying me. YouTube is where I get my
right.
bread and butter.
Go
everything
on Twitter,
will funnel.
Send it to,
exactly,
yeah.
exactly. Mm-hmm. Obviously now it's that's not even a good strategy because other social media platforms, they all hate each other. So you can't even drive people correctly from one platform to another. But now I find it important to know Twitter's for my tweets, my thoughts, my et cetera. It doesn't have to continuously drive to YouTube. It's more about these mini communities.
Where are you most active right now? Give me
right
the lay
now,
of the land.
I'm probably most active on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else is in your repertoire? If
so,
anything.
Yeah, so I still do YouTube. I had a regimented YouTube schedule for 8 years. That is insane. It was 2 scripted videos a week plus 7 vlogs. So 9 videos a week. I did mm-hmm. that for 8 years. Mm-hmm. I just stopped that at the top of this year because I was going crazy.
When did you announce it?
I announced it the top of this year, in January.
Like cold?
Well, I took a break from social media, you know, the thing that we all do. I took a break from social media in November.
Okay.
Took a little bit of time to yep. sit on my thoughts and feelings, and then in January I announced.
You know what's so funny? You just said something. You said, you know how we all do, and I mm-hmm. never have.
Mm-hmm.
And then
bless
I literally, and I, but it's interesting. I mm-hmm. literally, for the first time ever, came up with this idea. I've been debating. I'm shocked I'm saying this out loud because it's so early, and I don't tend to share my thoughts this early. Mm-hmm. But you've
this
inspired
is the effect
me.
I have on people.
You're
yeah.
really inspiring me. I've been thinking about creating something called Disappearing December.
Ooh.
Where I'm completely gonna disappear for the whole month of December.
I love
that. No content.
I love that for you.
And I was like, huh. And then, you know, and where it went, it was like, you know, I may want to, yeah, everyone here is like, what the fuck? My whole team was like, are we fired? It's really interesting. There's something about Jan 1 that has always sat with me. Mm-hmm. December's interesting because, you know, there's some family time. Mm-hmm. I'm usually pissed about football. I always get a little inspired about my family. You know, I grew up in my dad's family liquor store, so mm-hmm. the wine store has always got a little of my attention. Vayner's quite busy. I want to see people. Like, it's a very interesting, for all of us, it's an interesting month. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. Like, you know, I wonder, you know, it's kind of like Movember, like the whole, like that whole thing. Like, I was like, huh, I wonder if I do this. Wonder how many people will do it. Wonder what that means. I do think humans take scheduling very serious. Mm-hmm. There's almost a part of me that believes that if people disappear in December, that their January and their new year starts off better.
When I completely agree.
So I'm debating it.
I am all in. Please let me know if this goes down because I will disappear in December as well.
See, this is this is what scares me about this is I really think it's smart and I actually think it would be adopted mm-hmm. at scale. Mm-hmm. And I think that now I'm questioning myself of like, is the only reason I want to do this because I think it's going to become huge.
Right.
And I want to be like, I'm the fucker that created, you know, like I'm trying to like figure it out if I'm like doing it because I know it will work.
You're trying to see if your break from validation online will result in you being validated in another way.
It's actually more just, you know how I think about life? Like right before I die, I think when you're creative, mm-hmm. and this took me a long time, I've only decided mm-hmm. to accept like, oh, wait a minute, maybe I'm creative in the last couple of years because I was like, I'm a businessman.
Yeah.
No, it's actually just because I like being associated with ideas.
That's great.
Like, I just like the idea. It's actually this simple. 9 years from now, going through the airport and hearing a mom and daughter walk in and be like, well, we've got disappearing December coming up anyway. And so, and to just to think like, I fucking came up with that. As a matter of fact, I just realized what I'm doing now in the meta. Mm-hmm. I just put it out before somebody else stumbles on it. Now I've got this.
Boom.
Boom.
Put a trademark
but
on
by
it.
The way, honestly, without, you know, everyone's like trademark and all mm-hmm. this stuff, I never do those things. This already feels good. Anyway, I'm sorry. Nonetheless. So what about as a kid? Where were you born and how'd you grow up?
I was born in Toronto, Canada.
Okay.
I only moved from Toronto 5 years ago to LA. I was raised.
Are you a Raptors fan?
Yeah. Oh, the NBA champs? Yes, I am fans of the NBA champs.
But are you a bullshit Raptors fan?
No, I've been, so I really
like.
Got
can you
into,
tell me a lot about Vince Carter?
That's what I was about to say. I've been a really diehard fan for the past probably six, seven years. So not when I was super young. My family wasn't very into sports. My family was into making ends meet. We didn't do sports.
Okay, I understand.
I have two immigrant parents that are from India, from northern India, Punjab. So that we're going back to that immigrant hustle is embedded in me.
Of course.
I have an older sister, which is very interesting in full circle because for so much of my life, my parents wanted me to follow her footsteps.
Of course.
Did the psych degree, did all things.
I get it.
Now she does YouTube. She's
it.
Older. She's 6 years older than me. So that's been an interesting full circle moment.
Of course.
Growing up, I was a huge tomboy. Loved to be rebellious in the most ridiculous of things, like painting my room red. Would go to the end of the earth to do these ridiculous things that my parents, for some reason, because they're Indian, would always oppose, even though it makes no sense.
Of course.
And I just really loved being creative. You know, I loved dancing. I was a dancer for a good part of my life. Bhangra dancing, which is like traditional Indian dancing. This one brown guy in the room is nodding his head at me.
Yep.
And I was just always that kid. My parents just kind of learned very early that if Lily really wants to do something, she is going to do it regardless of what we say. That's
headstrong,
always
right.
Yeah,
conviction.
Just very headstrong. And even with dancing, you know, traditionally my parents didn't like that. They didn't like me performing.
Doesn't sound like a doctor or a lawyer
exactly.
or an engineer.
So I had to, it took like a year for me to convince them. And how I convinced them wasn't through lying. It wasn't through sneaking out of my house to go to dance practice. It was, hey, you're going to come to my next show and you're going to see what I do. It's always been educating my parents on what I want to do because I believe so strongly that it's valuable.
Of course.
Same with YouTube. You know, when I told my parents I want to make YouTube videos and not go to grad school, my parents were like, what? First of all, what are you talking about? We don't know
who's
what this
is. YouTube guy.
Exactly,
I'm going to punch him in the face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, but they, you know, said you have a year to try to figure it out and if
well,
it goes somewhere,
that's
great.
Really what's special. You know, it's funny. I have immigrant parents as well. And like, I went into a family business. And the number one question I get asked is like, how did you convince your dad to let mm-hmm. you do things, right? I get so many emails from men and women right. who ask about their mom and dad's business and they can't do things. And no matter how much I did at 14, and I worked every fucking weekend mm-hmm. and holiday, and no matter how mm-hmm. much talent I showed and results from 14 to 22, and in my own mind, I took it. Mm-hmm. It still required my dad saying micro yeses mm-hmm. when I was like, hey, let's buy this weird sparkling papaya juice. Yeah. I'll never forget this. I bought a bunch of like sparkling non-alcoholic juice mm-hmm. that had, this was 1991, and the flavors were mango and pear and papaya. Like people came in the store and they're like, what's a mango? Like you know, like, like, and we sold it all. And I always think of like that being a moment where I convinced my dad who mm-hmm. I was, but it still took the micro yes mm-hmm. for, you know, a lot of dads and moms say no to the mango juice.
For sure.
And so, A, dad, thank you for saying yes to the mango juice, mm-hmm. and B, hearing your parents having, you know, we're lucky, mm-hmm. as strict and old school as our parents were, they had micro yeses in them.
For sure.
Letting you have the year to prove it.
100%.
Me buying the mango juice, mm-hmm. A lot of kids don't have that. And I'm very grateful 100%. For that.
And another thing I tell, because I get a lot of the similar questions as well, people saying, I want to do what is YouTuber entertainment.
How do you do this with our parents? Yeah.
And I always, this might not be the answer people want to hear, but for me, at least my experience was true. My parents became fine with my career once they knew I was going to be okay.
Correct.
I think for Indian parents or any immigrant parents, it's more so, we don't care about what your passion is. We don't care about any of it. We want to know that when we're dead and gone, will you be okay?
Lily, I think this is my biggest passion in life. We need to convince fucking human beings mm-hmm. that okay is happy, not mm-hmm. have some money.
Mm-hmm. No, 100%. I agree.
Period.
And
period. Do you know how many miserable as fuck for doctors sure. and engineers from immigrant 100%. Parents there are listening
and
right now?
We know
miserable
that.
As fuck.
And we know that. But I think for my parents, it didn't matter how happy
it.
Something would make
I get
me.
It.
It was... Are you going to be able to eat
I get
and
it.
Pay bills?
Of course, because right. they came from exactly. place. I mean, like,
right.
I know where our parents came from, mm-hmm. but we, as stewards to this, mm-hmm. like, and everybody in our society today, we have to change okay, not for you're making money on your TikTok videos. Mm-hmm. It's I'm happy to make TikTok videos,
for sure.
and I'm willing to live a $40,000 a year lifestyle mm-hmm. to do that. That happiness has yeah. to start pushing against money.
I mean,
money.
Going back to that, one another question I get often is, I want to start making YouTube videos. Do you have any advice? And I always,
make
my
him.
Advice is always, do something you care about. Talk about something you care about. Make videos about something that matters to you, because the fame and the numbers and the money is not going to fulfill you the way having a point of view that you care about is.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, Katie, do we have questions?
Yes.
Okay, before we get into that, mm-hmm. so the manager calls.
Yeah.
You're wearing your half blazer, half sweatsuit.
It was a ball gown, yeah.
And you
just change the story.
and you're sitting there.
Yep.
Over this month of mm-hmm. of doing research mm-hmm. to give an answer to these white mm-hmm. executives.
Yep.
When it finally came into your head, like mm-hmm. fuck, this mm-hmm. is gonna happen.
Yep.
Because you decided for yourself it's gonna happen. Mm-hmm. Who were the top people you wanted to be guests on the show? There was some point, right?
Yep.
After you did this, you're 100%. Like, okay, I'm gonna have a first week. I'm gonna have a first show.
So I had a mix. I have two buckets of people. And the first bucket is Beyonce, because once I have Beyonce on my show, I can retire and not do anything else ever again.
Understand.
But the second bucket, honestly,
B, I know you listen every day.
100%.
So Beyonce. Can you just hit her up?
And the second bucket of people is people that have not yet had an opportunity to
Love.
Be on Late Night or not had that
Love.
Platform yet. Like a lot of my friends or
Love.
People who I've just admired online
Love.
Who have never had the chance. To
I remember
yet.
Fallon absolutely was the mm-hmm. first, because Gavin, mm-hmm. the producer, came from Dignation.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember there was a little bit of that,
mm-hmm.
Not to the level that I think you're about to embark on.
I mean,
that's cool.
In every facet of my show, whether it's the writer's room or like people, the script assistant, whatever, I'm really trying to infiltrate it with people that I know could use this opportunity.
It's cool.
Because that's the actual legacy of the show. On air, great. The 22 minutes you see on screen, great. It's fun, it's cute, whatever, but it's actually giving people opportunities.
What's the format gonna be? So you changed the name, right? Which I
yep,
love.
It's
the
a little,
little
late with Lily
I
Singh.
Like that.
There's a lot of L's, thank you.
Yeah, I like that.
It's, you know, there's staples of late night that we love and we're used to, so the monologue, the sketch, etc. But I'm making it a lot more personal because I'm prioritizing community building, which I don't think the late night world has done yet.
Yep.
Me coming from the YouTube world, I
yep.
know the value of building
yep.
a community.
Yep.
And so my monologues are not just template monologues anyone can read. They're very much so based on my experiences, who I am. The audience will get to know me beyond just the host of the show. They'll get to know Lily, the type of person she is, what her moral compass is, or her experience, etc.
What's the punchline with that time slot? You know, is, you know, obviously there's the history. Mm-hmm. Carson had such a, before we went on our air or during the air, like 17, what a 17 run, years, 17 yeah. years, did such a great job. You know, I go into cliche common sense and I'm like, ooh, like, you know, interest, like young dudes, like that stay up to 1:30 is one place I go. People that lived alternative lives where they're like, you know, working at those times or things of that nature. And then I'm just thinking about the nature of like, for example, we were very similar. Obviously we came up the same way. I also have really never debated having a show, was offered stuff. The closest I, like the big moment for me, similar to you, and I was just too deep into this, was, you know, a syndicated show, which is even 200 goddamn episodes for daytime. And I really wanted to, because I wanted, but it was just too much. Nonetheless, I'm very curious about how much of this show is consumed online, days later, clips. I'm sure knowing your DNA, like it'll be really interesting to see, for me to hear.
For me, how I'm viewing it is at 1:30 a.m. it launches. And it starts its life beyond that. I'm not married to the idea of people are viewing it at 1:30. We're well aware a majority of people will view it the next day on YouTube. And for me, I actually...
And is that how it works, just for functionality? Yeah. Like, the full show will be on YouTube the next day?
It will
day?
Be divided into clips, but when those clips are combined, yes, it's all parts of the show.
Got it.
And that's important.
So if you're like
me,
a hardcore fan.
Yeah,
right? So
for
if
sure.
Sid is like, I love this show, and like, he could go and watch five clips and 100%. Basically and see every piece of the show?
Minus like a couple seconds of like dead air time. Yes, yep, you'd be able to see every element of the show. And that's important for me because coming
that's
from YouTube,
world.
I have a worldwide audience. Yeah. You know, not everyone has access to NBC. Yeah. And so it's important for me for them to consume it. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks.
Some questions?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's call some peeps.
Oh, yeah.
Has historically DVR been a big play for these late shows? Do you know? Are you sure?
I don't. I mean, sure. Now with YouTube, I don't really know. I feel like it's just YouTube. Is gonna be the, you know, the jam.
Who's this?
Nikita from California.
Nikita.
Ooh.
Nikita Koloff was my favorite wrestler.
You're gonna get a whole bunch of brown people calling in right now. I love it. Nikita.
This could be a Russian fucking gangster. Just so you understand.
Boy, will my face be red. Let's see.
Or it could be somebody who's not gonna answer and be devastated.
Nikita.
That's what I'm hoping for. These are always my favorite memes when I scold people. You sure you typed it in right?
Should we leave a voice?
Please leave your message for 51090282.
Well, now you gotta. Here we go. We don't beep anything. Okay. Everybody can figure it out. Okay. Nikita, it's Gary and Lily. This is one of the great mistakes of your life, not picking up the phone. You will probably do what everybody else does, which is you're gonna call back. However, we are not going to pick up the phone because life is about timing, and this is a lesson that I wanna teach the audience. Have a great day. Lily?
Nikita, have a great day after this message. I'm still rooting for you and I'd love to talk to you one day.
Nikita, I'm fucking rooting for you too. I'm just talking about timing matters in life.
Tweet me. Don't let this be the thing that ruins your day.
This won't ruin your day. This is like a funny meme, Nikita. You can watch this video all the time.
Me and Gary are going to fist fight now.
All right, let's go to the next one. I always think like, I always think about timing. I always think about the meeting I didn't take that is absolutely the one that would have changed the course of my career. I love timing.
Jamie
I think
Miami.
Who?
Jamie from Miami.
Let's do it.
You're helping me.
Hello.
Jamie?
Hi, yes.
This is Gary Vaynerchuk and you're on with Lily.
Hey.
Oh my God, I'm gonna cry.
Crying is good.
Sure, cry. Cry but speak too.
Okay. Oh my God, I'm gonna cry. Okay, I'm pulling up my vlog camera. Lily, hi.
Hi.
So I am 25 years old. I'm a dancer in Miami.
Okay.
I have watched all of your videos, all of your vlogs, and like you spoke about your depression, like not depression, but the funk that you went through and the break that you took.
Yeah.
And I watched and kind of lived all of that with you because like that's the same exact thing that I've been going through. So I understood like through your videos that you were dealing with burnout. So I'm 25 now, and I've owned a gym and a dance studio here in Miami since I was 19. So
awesome.
I currently just feel burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my question is, like, how do you overcome that? And, like, I just feel stuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Great question.
Yeah, that is a great question. So I took a social media break at the end of last year. And, you know, there's a lot of things that helped me. But one thing in particular that I found so helpful was redefining how I define self-care, basically. I think previously in my life, I used to work so tremendously hard and so relentlessly hard. As you know, if you watched all of my videos, you know there's a lot of them. I used to work so tremendously hard, and my idea of a break would be once a year I'd go to a resort and get drunk and eat a lot of food and then go back to my life and then work relentlessly
hard.
Sounds
amazing.
So that does sound amazing, but it's not sustainable. I've learned that self-care is
nothing is sustainable.
You're correct,
Lily.
Well, actually, I don't know.
Let me rephrase. Like what? Keep going. I'm going to let you finish because I have one thing to add.
But what I've learned is that, you know, for me, self-care is small things every day. Really, it's about 10 minutes of meditation I do every day. It's about writing my diary if I feel clouded. It's about going on a walk if I need to. And that actually makes me work smarter and work better than when I'm working from morning to night nonstop. I actually get a lot more done when I'm a happy, healthy person because I've dedicated 20 minutes of my day to just being a human, if that makes any sense.
And Jamie, to add to that, you know, what is not sustainable is micro tactics. So, you know, I already have friends that are on the other side of meditation. Like it's just an emerging thing. And I've already gotten hundreds of DMs and texts and emails and conversations around, hey, I've been doing it for 3 years and it's worn out its value, which is actually where I want to take this to the little micro conversation Lily and I just had. Mm-hmm. Nothing sustainable. Wait a minute. Yes, it is. I think something that you need to give a lot of thought to is judgment. So one of the things that, and even by your reaction, it excites me. I'm super passionate about judgment. A, the way we judge ourselves. B, the way we allow other people's judgments to become a variable in our lives. Mm-hmm. When I think about the only sustainable thing that I have in me, and I give a huge shout out to Tom Bellew when he was on my podcast and actually giving this to me because I was living it, I just didn't put words to it. My ability to not judge myself, which then leads me to not judging others, has been the greatest gift of my life and is the only sustainable thing I have. Through all my twists and turns, my friend, for you to be at 25 and already have this much accomplishment under your belt,
for sure.
I'm gonna cry. Oh my God, I can't.
I really need you to see this, and it makes me happy that we're having this micro talk. Like, brother, like, listen, like, you've done, you're beating yourself up or allowing somebody else to beat you up when you've already. You can add a whole lot.
So I think that you just kind of hit the nail on the coffin with me, Gary. So like judgment is a really big thing, which is why I've always been attracted to Lily because she's never been afraid to be herself, which has gotten her where she is today, which is launching her. It's amazing. So like I'm here in Miami. I'm a 6'3" black man that dances for a living. So people come up to me every single day and ask me if I'm an athlete.
Yep.
And then I have to say, no, I'm a dancer. So like even within myself, I'm so afraid of my own craft and being judged. And even things like opening up a YouTube channel, I've been so afraid of my own judgment. And then people's just,
Jamie,
sense, but that's definitely the answer. Right.
And let's stay on this because this is going to be very valuable for, this has the potential to be very, very valuable for a lot of people. So let's keep playing the three of us.
Yep.
Couple things. I don't know Lily well enough, but I was listening to a couple things. Lily's serendipity of being an immigrant to a parent structure that I'm familiar with and her having the DNA from a very young age to fight the system and be comfortable with the ramifications, similar to me, got us into a place where and being on an island and not looking for acceptance, but having conviction to the inner conversation led us to a lot of practice by the time we got older. So many of us, maybe you, maybe not, I'm just painting a picture here. So many people don't practice from 0 to 22 of being comfortable in no. They have their entire energy to chasing yes, to looking for acceptance from others. So what may be happening to you, when I hear that from you, where I go is like, okay, awesome. I'm so fucking happy how life works. We're gonna stick on this moment. We're not going to the next call because all I want, Jamie, for you to understand is the following.
I'm gonna cry.
Other people's judgment is such a tell to what's going on in their lives.
It's also something that you can never control. Like you will never be able to control it. So it's focusing on what's in your control as well.
Jamie, when I look at people hating other people, and this is not a joke, and this is not the most popular opinion, when I watch other people hate or overly judge or try to make, you know, hate, you know, I'm not going to racism. I'm even talking about being in a meeting, watching somebody roll their eyes so that person sees it to their idea because they're trying to impose their sadness within them on somebody out. Misery loves company is something that I think right now, intuitively, needs a bigger platform and conversation in our society, because for some reason I really understand it. And right. So if you leave this call with nothing other than anybody that casts judgment on you, that you should deploy empathy and sympathy for them because they're dealing with their own shit,
100%.
Can really change the diagram for you, my friend.
I also say that I've never met a happy, successful person that had something unnecessarily mean or bad to say about someone else. Correct. So I feel like when you are in a good place in your life, like I always think about this when I receive negative comments online. I mean, I've been doing it for so many years, but I still, you know, people say you have thick skin. There'll be a comment or two that still gets you. Of course,
everybody,
we're all human.
Everybody.
But I always think about the fact that when I'm in a good place, I don't wake up and I don't have the desire to write mean things about people on the internet. And so really the type of person that is doing it is someone that is not happy and not in a good place. So I absolutely agree with your sentiment, Gary. And it also just goes back to control. For me, it's, I know I can control my reaction to things. I can control my thought process. I will never be able to control someone else and what they think.
Lily, I swear on everything that I hold dear that when I see the negative comments, which I get every single day, and I read comments because that's how I do research.
Of course, yeah.
I genuinely sit there and I'm like, I feel so bad. It is as foreign to me as to commit murder right now. I'm being dead serious right now. The thought of killing another human is as foreign to me as going to somebody's social media profile, consuming their content, and then leaving something negative.
I completely agree. That's why I just know that it's someone that's not in a good place.
Jamie, listen, let me tell you something about your youth. One thing I push a lot is perspective on time. You were gonna live literally three more full lives. Everything you've done from the day you were born to right now, you're about to do three more times. Yeah, it is really crazy, especially when you're ambitious and trying to create something and being in one of the 10 biggest cities where there's a lot of action going on, you know, what's everybody else doing? If you contextualize that, that will help you so much as well. Because let me tell you what I believe. I believe for a lot of us for all different reasons, create a framework where we allow outside opinion to have a disproportionate impact on our lives. A disproportionate. And if we are born into anything that even looks remotely different than the norm, we immediately are on our back foot. Immigrant, you know, gender, sex, preferences, skin tone. And by the way, let me say this. For the small group of white men that aren't immigrants that born in America, they have their insecurities too, because their mom tells them they're not as smart as their brother, not as fast. This human condition is for everyone, for everyone, right? And so what you need to do off this call, and if you understood the math behind even being the person that we got to, right? By the way, Nikita could have answered it, brought up a great question, and we would have never gotten to you.
Absolutely.
Right?
No,
Jamie, you have to understand that what you have to start doing right now is getting quiet within your own head.
Oh my God, yes.
But Jamie, let me tell you one part that nobody talks about that might help you.
Right.
Part of the equation of getting quiet is also not getting too high when people say that you're brilliant.
Right.
One of the reasons I've noticed so much insecurity, I'm like, wait a minute, they take in that they're beautiful or they're fast or they throw the ball hard or they're clever or they're good at great. One of the things that, it's why this is so full circle. Why I think you're balanced is because you think you're gonna be the biggest and you think you're no one.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
I understand that too. And that's no different than not getting too high when everybody says you're great.
Yeah, I'm a big believer of this too. And it comes down to not taking anything personally, whether it's positive or negative.
Correct.
Because you can't sit there and be like, oh, I'm not going to take negativity personally, but I'm going to accept all this praise. It really has to be from both ends. You know, when someone comes up to me, as many people do, and I'm sure, Gary, you have this a lot. People will come up to you and say, you changed my life. And I always say, I did
every day.
You did. You changed your life. Perhaps I was part of your world at that moment.
You're much better than I'm. Like, I'm completely the reason your life has changed.
You are the reason I have a late night show as well, so I agree. But it goes back to just not taking either of those things personally. And I know it sounds kind of absurd because you think you should be taking in positive energy, not negative, but I think you can't pick and choose, right? You can't take in someone's word of you being beautiful and not the negativity, you know?
Jamie, one other weird little thing
Absolutely.
I think you should go and volunteer one day for a retirement home.
Wow, okay.
I'll tell you why. I feel like people that are in this position need massive perspective injects, right? We're having this awesome talk. You're gonna take the high of this. You're gonna build a little bit. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing that can help people more than going to somebody who they don't know, not your grandparent, and right. spending a day with people in their 90s and understanding how all the things of people rolling up on you in the Miami scene and casting judgment right. means jack shit. Mm-hmm. And that Absolutely. Perspective is everything. You've got to start the process off this phone call to right. detach from judgment, both pro and con. That is the roundup.
Also, the last thing I'm going to say to you as someone who also dances, anyone that says you're not an athlete because you dance is wrong. Dance is so extreme.
No, of course.
It is amazing. And so,
of course.
Be proud of that. Be proud of that. As a fellow dancer, I just had to throw that in there.
Jamie, instead of letting you go and having this feel good moment, what have you, like, I'm just really curious, like, what's running through your mind right now, for real, for real? Okay. More importantly, not the good, not the good, but the part that you're leaving when you hang up here, where you're like, yeah, okay. yeah, but. I want to really know what's in your head as yeah, but, Jamie.
So can I say three things?
You can take seven.
Because these are the three things that are on my mind. So number one, Lily, you said that to get out of your funk, you do something like take a vacation and you blah, blah, blah. So like I feel even worse because like I just did that. So like I'm trying to start a modeling career on top of the fitness business that I'm running in Miami. So I just went to Italy for 10 days to like clear my mind in vacation. But then you come back and you're like, oh, wait, I still got all this to do and I got to figure out how I'm going to get it done. So like for me, I feel like I've done the vacation part. I've even like packed up all my stuff, moved to a different city because I was just over the fitness industry here. And I've come back and then people support me all the same. So like for me, I don't know how to get out of the funk because I've done the rest part of it, like the rest your mind part. Mm-hmm. Now it's just like, crap, how do I build a bigger business on top of this? Number two, Gary, you said like quiet and like silence. Oh man. So like, social media really drives me crazy because I watch your videos, Gary, and you say to post, content, content. And for me, that is the hardest thing to do because I'm a personality, but like I hate to post on social media. Like even my social media
Jamie,
now.
Jamie, you hate to post on social media because you overvalue the opinions. You're not in a mindset of creation. You're in a mindset of validation.
And speaking of validation, hold on. I just came up with a thing called Disappearing December, which we'll talk about at the beginning.
No, but really, let's go back to that point real quick. Like literally, 99% of people online are in the mindset of validation. The reason I say post is I want you to be in a mindset of creation. I want you to do it for you. Jamie, you probably aren't watching my content enough to know that I reference seven times a year that scene from Rocky IV where Drago loses to Rocky and he yells at the Soviet Union and all the people in the crowd. He said, fuck you guys. This wasn't America versus the USSR. I was in this ring for me. And that's like what I want to inject a little Drago into everybody. I want you to post for you, not for the likes, not for the validation, for the mindset of creating and leaving your two cents on the world for you. The reason nobody wants to post is it's become one big game of insecurity.
Of course. It's true.
What's the third thing?
And then the third thing is just like, so Gary, I kind of jumped into you when I was 19 and 20 because I got sponsored by one of the biggest universities here in Miami. It's FIU. So like they built my very first gym for me at $120,000 at 19 years old.
Wow.
And it was the craziest experience. And like, I've been dancing for the past 6 years and just doing what I love every day. But for me now, the business side, it's like, damn, I get burnt out so easily and so quickly when you realize, oh crap, no one's paying my bills. I'm the only one doing this. And like every move I make is my next paycheck, you know, and like growing this. So I guess these are all the thoughts that are just like, it's hard to feel stuck in like different areas of your life.
No,
you know,
this is great. Like, hey Jamie, another thing, listen, I talk about self-awareness over everything. Mm-hmm. That is my biggest religion. Brother, there is nothing wrong with you not being an entrepreneur and owner of this thing. Mm-hmm. If you know, I have had my family's livelihood, then I had to start from zero again because I built it for my family. There's all I can go on, and I've never felt a fear of the next paycheck because I'm in my zone. Mm-hmm. If I had to read a script, if I had Lily's job, and I don't know how you're doing it, but if I had to read from a teleprompter tonight in front of zero people, I would be so fucking scared because I can't read for shit and it's an insecurity of mine. But if I have to go give an impromptu keynote right now in Madison Square Garden in front of 37,000 people and I could talk about my shit, I would moonwalk to the garden right now. You might,
you like that?
You just might not need to be an owner of a gym, which is amazing. Okay. And that's and by the way, let's really play this out because I'm fucking fully invested at this point.
I appreciate it.
And let me give you the piece that I think really matters, because I think you kind of might know what I just said. And the part of closing the gym and having your auntie or your best friend or your neighbor or somebody that looked up to you that's doing well right now judge you means horseshit too. The amount of people that judge people that are doing from the sidelines makes me laugh. When you're judged for closing the gym because you're deploying self-awareness to happiness, and you get a comment of, oh, see, and maybe you put yourself out there. Maybe you made a video 3 years ago and said, I'm gonna crush it and build the next gold gym. And maybe you kind of put yourself in that spot. It still doesn't matter because you're doing and living. It doesn't matter what they think of that.
No, for sure.
And just to go back to your first point, Jamie, I wanna emphasize, how you viewed that vacation line is exactly how I used to view it for the many, many years of my life. What I highly recommend is that I'm saying you don't need to do that. I'm saying that's 10 minutes today after this call, even to just reflect, meditate, write. I'm saying is that if you're not having fun on the journey, it's like not worth it. And this is someone who's worked relentlessly hard. If you've watched my vlogs, you know this.
I know you have.
I believe in working hard even still, but the thing I believe in most is you have to be happy.
I love this woman so much. I couldn't believe in this more. Jamie, 99% of people just came back from summer vacation and the first fucking day back, all the things that they thought they got went in the garbage by 9:48 p.m.
No, of course.
You know, and so I really, really, really think that it is a much more macro thing. This comes down to judgment. If there was nobody else on earth, everybody would be happy.
Amen.
I'm telling you, this is a judgment game. Mm-hmm. This is you worried about what people are gonna think. Once I got to the final pieces of not even caring what my own parents thought, fully, it completely unlocked for me and I was already ridiculously happy. Mm-hmm. You can't let judgment seep in. It is the poison.
And to that point, you know, you just said the parents line. A lot of times when we let go of those types of ideas, well, of course my parents have to judge me or my friends, or when you let go of all of, then you get the judgment to yourself because you think, oh, that makes me a bad son or a bad daughter. You have to also not judge yourself in that regard. So it's just complete.
And let me give you a secret to all the kids out there who are struggling with not letting their parents down, because I get that all day long. Gary, you say all, you put all this pressure on the parenting dynamic. I always say to them, listen, net, and this is not a blanket statement, nothing can be a blanket statement, but I genuinely believe that every kid who decides to do what their parents want them to do versus what they want to do end up 30 years later, 26 years later, 41 years later in massive underlining subconscious resentment of their parents. Mm-hmm. And I would rather kids and parents have a shitty 3 to 5 years than have a life full of resentment and undertones and all that anxiety.
Correct.
And guess what happens out of that 3 to 5 years of bad? Somebody ends up being right. Mm-hmm. And you don't even need to have right. First of all, take it from two people. Parents get real proud when they're not sure, and then you do it.
For sure.
That's the ultimate for a parent. Mm-hmm. And more importantly, a lot of times kids lose too. There's a lot of kids that told their parents they were gonna be the biggest rapper in the world, went to LA, and 9 years later are not the biggest rapper in the world, and they come back to Kansas, and they get a job in the family business or within the profession or something else. And guess what? Their parents are thrilled they're back home because they missed them. And guess what else? That next Eminem or next Jay-Z also feels good, or next Meg Thee Stallion, they also feel good because they gave it a fucking shot. Mm-hmm. And now that they're a carpenter or a businesswoman or whatever the hell they're doing, they don't have to live with regret. This is why we have to push this narrative, because it will lead to more happiness for everyone.
Agreed. Jamie, how you feeling?
I'm shaking. I have a vlog camera in front of me because I'm crying and I'm wiping my tears.
Get that thumbnail, boo. Get that thumbnail.
Jamie, which person in your life's opinion do you value the most? Who do you think is really riding real mindset. That, like, when you think about your life and you think about when the gym opened, who you called, or whose validation do you genuinely believe you're anchoring to?
It's definitely mom. And I think, again, we're all immigrants. So, like, I was born in Jamaica and mom is now a doctor. So, like, mom learned very early, like, Jamie's not going to be a doctor. Like, I went to school for acting and dance. Like, she immediately picked up on that. So I definitely think it's her validation, even though she's come to terms with, like, hey, my kid is a performer. Like, he's not following my line of work, you know? But again, I do want to make her proud and, like, somehow, like, hey, mom, like, everything that I'm doing and, like, all this time I'm wasting in this industry, it's not for nothing, you know?
Jamie, couple things on that, and I apologize for not letting you go, but I just feel like you're ours now. You're doing so much good for so many people right now, and I'm not gonna let it go, even though I feel the stress of my team telling me I'm late and this and that. Jamie, listen to me. We have to change the narrative of artists or entrepreneurs or athletes or creative people or anybody who's willing to have any conviction of their own happiness, for that matter. You're not wasting your time. We have to put the process on the pedestal, not the results that come with it.
Absolutely.
I promise you this. There are a ton of mothers and fathers who are listening right now who are devastated that their kids went through a process of making them proud. They achieved everything. They got the degree, they got the business, they got the money, and now they're 48 and they just had dinner last week and they're completely broken. And you can't put that judgment on yourself. Your mother and every mother and father deep down, even if they don't realize it, their number one proud moment is if their child is happy. If their child had enough conviction to make themselves happy. If you can get happy about the process of this versus whatever results this gym does, you will be in a much better happy place.
Oh man. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Agreed.
Where does your mom sit currently on this? Like, she's scared and worried, disappointed, pumped, elated?
No, so, like, and again, I'll make it fast because I basically already went through the process of, like, closing the gym because I knew that it wasn't going to work. I moved away. I came back. And now what I've done is, like, infiltrated in other gyms so that I'm not paying a huge overhead taking all my classes there. So mom is really proud because, like, I'm running things and I have more time on my hands. So mom is proud. Mom just wants to see me reach the level that she knows I can, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? You and mom have to have a conversation about that because that's an arbitrary number. That's a fake thing. That's like VaynerMedia when people are like, your creative needs to be better. I'm like, no, your judgment on this video is the king and queen.
Right.
Like you have to have I'm telling you, Jamie, you have to have a conversation with your mom about that. Reaching your full potential or what you're capable of has to be on your happiness data. Mm-hmm. Right now, you're nowhere on that. I don't give a fuck how many classes you're doing in 97 gyms and your profit margin's better. It needs to be on being happy about your day to day.
Amen. Agreed. Yes, sir.
You know?
But I mean, it also sounds like, compared to a lot of situations other people are in, having a mom in this position is great.
Fucking amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah. So no, I feel like you have all the pieces to make things pop off here. Just I agree, have that conversation and don't do the but after this, as Gary mentioned.
Jamie, the key is knowing how to quantify ambition so it doesn't manifest in your own personal judgment and anxiety. I'm so uncomfortably ambitious, but I've got lucky and circumstantial to put it into a place that doesn't cast judgment. In a world where I've been very successful business-wise in the last 20 years, but between the partnership with my dad and the partnership with my brother, I have nowhere close to the personal finances needed to achieve my professional goals of buying the New York Jets. At 43 years old, I sit here cool as a cucumber. So you can imagine why I push patience and lack of judgment on 25-year-olds.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sir.
Don't listen. Please change behavior past this. Mm-hmm. Please take this phone call as a moment in your life to change your behavior and recalibrate the conversation. The ambition needs to be waking up happy, not anything else.
Absolutely. Gary, can I just say that this is a promise that I'm making to you because I watch your show almost weekly. And to be rather frank, I was about to take a shower, go to work and go train a client. And then I opened Facebook and I saw Lily on your show and I freaked out. I freaked because you guys, you are the only two people that I watch when I'm in a funk. So like Lily, like, again, I watched her in a funk earlier this year and I'm watching her start her own show, which is like, it's the craziest thing. So like, if I'm seeing someone like her who I've watched for 6-7 years do it and get out of it, like, this call is the biggest wake up call to me. So like, please, thank you so
Jamie,
much. Like,
Jamie, this is how we're gonna end this call. I think, and I don't want to put Lily on a spot, but I think I'm firm on this. I think there's a very strong likelihood, or maybe even booked, or kind of almost booked, like, I'm going to be on Lily's show.
Yes, 100%.
Okay, I just didn't, I felt like we were there.
I love that.
No, not like we've been working on it behind, like, so Jamie, I'm going to fly you up here.
I'm going to cry.
And you're going to hang out with me in the green room the day I do the show.
No, or I'll give you your own green room and it'll be bigger than Gary's and then he can hang in your green room.
By the way, Jamie, and you know why that works for me? When your green room's bigger than mine, what Lily doesn't know is she just gave me a real mitzvah because that's gonna motivate me even more to be the greatest fucking guest on her show ever. Premiering tonight at 10 p.m. on YouTube.
I know, yes. I have it recorded. I have it pre-recorded already.
So Jamie, I'm gonna have Katie give you a call and get all your details. And once we're locked in, you're coming to New York City. Mm-hmm. You're gonna hang out at Vayner in the morning. We're gonna help look at your stuff. Then we're gonna all go into record the show. LA. I'm an idiot. I'm gonna fly you to LA.
Still up for this, Gary?
Of course I'm up to this. You're gonna fly to LA. This is what's fun about being global. You're gonna fly to LA. I'm gonna meet you in the LA office of Vayner. We're gonna hang out. Then we're gonna go do the show. You're gonna hang out in your bigger green room. I'll come and visit. And then
after the show, all three of us can talk about all the things you wanna talk about. I just volunteered Gary's time.
That just happened.
Even more so.
That's firm. That
and
is now
Gary's
real life.
And gonna buy you a yacht.
And burn it to the ground in your face to motivate you. Jamie, we'll see you soon.
Thanks.
You better
Jamie.
Start crying. You're coming to LA. We'll see you soon.
I appreciate you, Jamie. Bye.
Bye, guys. Thank you.
Look at us.
Fun?
Look at you making
look
dreams
at us.
Come. Look at us.
You.
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 I'm just texting my booker right now saying we need to get Gary on the show. I'm kidding. We're already working on it.
Thank you.
Thank you. This
was
a
lot of fun.
A great conversation. Thank you.
Yeah, it really was.
More to come.
I really wish you nothing but success. Please, Vayner Nation, support this show. Getting off to a big start on these kind of shows, unfortunately, really matters. It's just the difference of YouTube versus network TV. The infrastructure's on TV. I'm sure she has a long rope and they wouldn't have signed her up, but it never hurts. And I think an extra push matters. And so please tonight, if you find yourself up and about, especially because I know a lot of you are hardcore and are up at 1:30, a little social love for the episode, any little bit will help her. And as you can tell, as she was talking, there's so much that I agree with this wonderful woman on, and more of this conversation needs to see the earth. And so I am rooting for her heavy, and anything you guys can do for her would mean a lot to me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Gary. And thank you to everyone listening.
Thanks so much for listening or watching to that episode of the Gary V Audio Experience. We really hope you enjoy it, and we hope to see you next time.